I've had the privilege of being in and around banking for more than 50 years. Lots of changes during that time. We've gone from ledgers to laptops, typewriters to technology. One thing, however, remains the same. Banking is a people business, and I'll be talking with those people that make banking great here on Jackrants with Modern Bankers.
Welcome to Jackrants with Modern Bankers. It's brought to you every week by RelPro and Vertical IQ. After 6 decades in banking, it's time for me to give back, and I hope this program amplifies that. Every week, I feature top voices in financial services. That might include bankers and consultants, best-selling authors like this program, and many more. The goal here is to provide insights, success practices, and bring some new ideas to the table, too, that you could use to maximize your results in 2024. My guest today is Corey Perlman. Need a great speaker for your next event? To talk about what's now and what's next on social media? We ought to book Corey Perlman, and you sure won't be disappointed. Corey is the owner of Impact Social, a marketing firm he founded nearly 2 decades ago to help businesses of all kinds maximize their social presence. Corey earned a Master's of Technology in Marketing at Florida State University, and the latest of his 3 books is Authentically Social, and it's a good one. Today, we're going to dive into that book with Corey Perlman on Jackrants with Modern Bankers. Here we go. So as I mentioned in the introduction, I got a chance to see Corey Perlman's book being held up by my friend Meredith Elliott Powell on her show with Mark Hunter. And I thought, hey, anything Meredith's reading, I'm reading. And reached out to Corey, got the book, read the book. It's amazing. And we're going to talk about Authentically Social today. Corey Perlman, welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Well, gosh, thank you, Jack, so much. And what timing. I literally just saw Meredith yesterday. And shout out to her. She just did an amazing speech in front of our group and hit a home run. So,
oh, that's terrific. So let's start out with Impact Social, which is your agency. Talk about that company and how you help your clients.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. Over a decade, we've been supporting our clients by, you know, helping keep them top of mind through their digital marketing. So just like the book says, I believed early on that you've got to tell your full digital story online. It can't just be, you know, a billboard or brochure. It's got to be, you know, your story, you know, and humanizing the brand, telling people about your team, how you, you know, you help and support and all that, and trying to convey that online. And we've been doing that for over a decade. The channels that we typically use are the acronym PHIL: Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, not in that particular order, but those are the ones that we typically use with our clients. They tend to be like professional services, I would say, and you know, small to medium-sized businesses. And it's been a great ride so far.
And you're out a lot speaking about this. And I've seen a couple of your YouTube videos. And if you get a chance, go see Corey on some of his YouTube videos. He's exciting and wonderful and practical, which is exactly what the book is too. But when you do go out and speak, you ask your audience to do what you call a digital audit. If I'm in the audience and you say, let's do a digital audit, what does that mean?
Yeah, I want them to kind of we do a lay of the land, like where are you right now? And the, I mentioned earlier, but the big kind of aha moment, if you will, is, does your social media look like a billboard or a brochure? And if it does, we're doing it wrong, because social media is not a billboard or a brochure. Social media is not advertising. And a lot of times us as businesses treat it that way. And that's why we're not seeing results. And so I have people in my audiences go check it out. And most of the time they're like, yeah, it just looks like promotion, 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 promotion. And it's not working. They're seeing no engagement, no likes, no comments, no shares, no nothing. And so the kicker is, this is social media. First word is social. And so we got to turn that on its head. And so the reason I have them do the audit is to look at a baseline of what they're doing so far. And most of the time, Jack, they see that they're doing it wrong.
Well, let's talk about wrong. You've done thousands, worked with thousands of people, hundreds of companies. You're out speaking quite a lot. And in your work, you have to actually look at what people are doing on social. What are some, beyond maybe just doing it for the advertising, what are some key mistakes that you think people are making when they're on social media?
Yeah, good question. I would say number one, even before they start posting, is they pick the wrong platforms. So they don't think about who their audience demographic is, and they tend to choose the platforms that maybe are garnering the most attention on news or whatever, and they're not thinking about who their audience is, and so they go out and they jump on TikTok. Or maybe it was Snapchat, or maybe it's, maybe it's LinkedIn or wherever it is, but it's not your audience, and therefore you're not getting results. So the first thing that I want my audiences to do is to think about who their buyer demographic is and try to match that to the profile of the social networks that they want to use. And so, for example, you mentioned LinkedIn. I know that one is near and dear to your heart. LinkedIn is the B2B network. It's where C-level executives, corporations, everybody, businesses feel very comfortable there. Instagram is a little bit more millennial, say 35 to 55, 35 to 45. Facebook's obviously an older generation. TikTok is 13 to 26. And these are I'm generalizing a little bit, but it's important to start to understand where the demographics are before you ever plant your flag on social. So that's the first one. And then the second one I would say is, are you serving others or are you self-serving? That's just a big question I ask my clients. As we start to think about how we're going to create content on social, are we serving ourselves or are we serving others? And we want to serve others. And you work with a lot of banks. So in the banking world, obviously, the question is, how can we serve others? In what ways can we be a resource of value to other people? And we start writing those down, answering those questions. And that's where our content starts to begin to take form. And the more we can figure that out and go in that direction, the better our social media is. We start thinking about what they want as opposed to what we want, and the better results they'll get.
Yeah. And you, like a lot of younger people, are feel the need to articulate what you're saying in a book. And people actually still do read books. And you put this down on paper, and it's just an outstanding book. I really like it. Talk about your inspiration. What was the kicker that said to you, you know what? I got to get all my thoughts down in a book.
But this one, it was really, I hate to kind of beat a dead horse, but it was kind of just seeing it being done wrong online a lot, just watching businesses flail around on social. And just seeing a lack of results and frustration, honestly. And just, it's that, the definition of insanity, right? Just doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And I think we as businesses just assume that we just go out there and we talk about our products and services and we wonder why people aren't engaging with us. And it's just not how it works. And so I just said, gosh, man, I need to write a book about this. And authenticity is a word that a lot of people are using right now. It was the word of 2023 in Webster's dictionary. It's a word, it's a big deal right now. And the question is how can businesses be authentic? How can professionals be authentic? How can you be authentic on LinkedIn? Can you be authentic on LinkedIn? And all those answers are yes. And I dive into those in the book quite a bit. And just a couple examples of those, Jack, is just like, how can you, highlight the culture of your team, let's say. That's one way to be authentic, so like bringing out some of the values that your team has, you know, like what you guys like to, you know, celebrate milestones in your business, or, you know, Fridays you guys all get together, or you do community service outreach, you know, all those things are part of your culture in your business. I want to see that on social. That's a big part of what we want to see. And that's not only do people want to work with you if we see that on social, but people also want to be a part of you from a employee standpoint. A lot of you know, future talent that want to work with, say, some of your banks are going to go on social and look at your social before they ever decide if they want to work with you or not. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I really like the way the book is structured. You've got 20 principles for social, 20 social principles. It's divided into four sections. We're going to dive into a few of these, but talk about why you decided to do it that way.
I'm just a pretty simple and practical guy, so I like to outline. This is my third book, and I just like to outline them in a very, like you said, easy and practical ways. So the first one is just the context of why the principle is important. The second one, we have a mantra. So you have the principle, and then you have the mantra. It's kind of like what we're going to tell ourselves to do in this particular one. And then I always have a take action, you know, so it's like a big kind of this is what we're going to do inside there. So I try to just kind of cut them up into the four pieces. And yeah, I mean, ever since I started doing what I'm doing over the last 15 years, for me, it's just key that no matter what anybody, either if they're reading a book of mine or in a session of mine, I want you to be able to easily take action. And I think you know that in the book, that that's a key principle in the book for me is whatever chapter you're on, you can easily take action. And that's what I want you to be able to do.
Well, and that's absolutely one of the things I really liked about the book. The other thing I like is lots of stories, lots of best practices, lots of ideas, so that I read it and I say, yeah, I can do it. And I've actually tried a couple of things, and they really, really do work. I want to dive into a couple. We can't certainly cover them all, but let's talk about principle number four: the algorithms favor the bold. Let's go 30,000 feet here. Talk about, before you get into that concept too deep, talk to me about what an algorithm is and what it does.
So, in each social platform, the algorithm dictates whether or not your particular post is going to get seen by your audience or not. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. And so that's the algorithm. It's similar to on Google, whether or not your website gets shown on a particular keyword search or not, right? So we talk about that in terms of an algorithm. So on Instagram, let's say, for example, or LinkedIn, either one, when you do a particular post, how many of your followers or connections see that particular post? And so when I say in that particular principle, the algorithm favors the bold, what I mean is when a platform such as LinkedIn launches a new feature, they tend to want to promote that feature pretty heavily. And so when a user like Jack, let's say like you, uses that feature quickly, they will reward you by showing that to more people. So the example I like to give is LinkedIn newsletters came out. They've been out for a little while, but they've really been pushing it the last few years. So if you started using LinkedIn newsletters early and started using them on your profile, LinkedIn will reward you by showing that to more of your audience. And you probably saw that. I know a lot of my clients would say, gosh, you know, Corey, we posted a LinkedIn newsletter and you know, I got 800 subscribers right away, or I saw 27 comments, or, you know, why is that? The answer is LinkedIn showed it to a lot of people because they wanted to promote that feature. They're pushing it. And so the question is going to be, in 2024, 2025, 2026, what are the new features going to be in LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever platform you're focused on? And whatever those new features are going to be, think about using those features quickly because that's going to help you win the algorithm game.
That's really interesting. So you mentioned new features. You're in this game 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, this is your business. This is your life. How do you stay on top of all the new features? Because LinkedIn, I believe, changed 153 things last year. How do you stay on top of all these changes?
Well, I follow people like you, you know, who follow the trends. You know, I do, you know, I really try to keep an eye on my friends and colleagues who I think do a good job of sourcing and curating great content, you know? And so my job for the people who follow me is for all the different things that I find, I share only the stuff that I think is most meaningful to my audience. And I know you do the same, Jack. And so that's my job, you know, and those that are listening to us right now or that are in the banking industry, they have the same job in the banking world. So I don't know the banking world. And so if I'm following them, their job is to curate the content for that. They probably see 500 pieces of information a day within the banking world, and they should only share one, two, or three of those pieces of information that's most meaningful to people like you and me. So you actually brought up a good point there, even though you didn't, you know, you weren't asking that question, but that's another leg to this whole authentically social is for your listeners out there is part of adding that value is being that curator of content. So deciding what you're going to share of value to your network. So every time you see a piece of information, you say, is this truly of value to my network? Is it worthy of my network? And if the answer is yes, then share it. But if the answer is no, don't. And if the answer is yes, maybe also share your perspective. So if I see something that Jack just posted about LinkedIn, I might say, you know, I saw this, my friend Jack posted, and I agree with what he said here, and here's why. And this is why I'm posting it to you, audience. So not only are they seeing something that you sent that I believed in, but I also shared my perspective. So it's kind of a double win for my audience, and they appreciate that.
Well, let's let me pick at that reposting thing. Is how much of a benefit? Let's say I see something that you write about and I really like it, and I want to repost that to my network. How does that benefit? I know how it benefits the network. How does it benefit me? How does it benefit you when I do reposting?
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that on LinkedIn. Technically, it's not the greatest strategy. You know, I use that as an example of one of the many ways that you can offer value to your network. But from a LinkedIn algorithm perspective, resharing is actually not the greatest strategy. You kind of want to be engaging in conversation on somebody else's post versus resharing theirs. We can talk about that in a minute. But so I would say if you're on LinkedIn, because I know that that's a primary platform probably for a lot of your audience, and you see something that you feel like is worthy of sharing to your network, the key best practice I would say for you is if you decide to reshare it or share it to your network, add perspective, add context. Don't just reshare it. Put your own perspective there. LinkedIn will appreciate that. They will share it to more of your network if you share context. And your audience will more likely comment on that post. If you just reshare something, it looks like you didn't put much thought into it. And so therefore, LinkedIn's not going to reward you on that as well.
You know, Corey and I are on LinkedIn all the time, and we look at things like creator mode that LinkedIn started a little while ago and evidently is now going to get rid of. But it gets to my point, Corey, about principle number five. Never forget that you are easily forgettable, which is just great. It speaks to this whole idea of consistency. And before we started recording, we talked about how few people on LinkedIn actually ever post anything. What's the power of consistency in any social media?
Made by bankers for bankers, Vertical IQ is your trusted source for reliable, convenient, and focused industry intelligence, helping your team save time, boost sales, and gain a competitive edge. Learn more at verticaliq.com.
Yeah, just because, you know, a lot of us, especially in this industry that you focus on, you know, our sales are long-term. You know, it's not, you know, we're not just going to deal with somebody for 6 hours. It's going to be 6 months or a couple years, you know, and our job is to stay top of mind. Our job is to stay on the radar of these folks in a way that is not frustrating or annoying. And we want to be a valued resource to them. And social media can be an excellent way of doing that. As long as we are being a trusted resource and guide and not annoying them. And by doing that, it's adding value. So my goal, if you're connected with me on social, is I want to be a resource to you so that whenever you are thinking about a speaker or an agency, I'm the first one you think of. You know, that's my goal. I've had clients that have been following me for years, you know, and they would say, Corey, you know, I haven't opened a lot of your emails. I haven't engaged with a lot of your posts, but I've stayed with you. And when it was time, here we are, you know, and that's the goal. It's a long game, not a short game. And that's why it's tough to measure sometimes. But that's why I say that principle. And that's why it's so important that you think about every post that you do, Jack, and that you stay consistent, you know, because sometimes you think to yourself, you know, I posted a couple times, didn't really see anything. It didn't work. I'm just going to do something else. And that's just not the way it works, you know? So that's why I mentioned that principle, but consistency is truly the key. And the last thing I'll say on that, Jack, is especially on LinkedIn, I will tell you this, and you know this, it's quality over quantity on LinkedIn, and that should make your audience feel good. Less is more on LinkedIn. So it's not a daily rhythm that you have to be thinking about. It's really more, you know, a couple times a week. And it's really more about creating quality in the posts that you're doing on LinkedIn as opposed to frequency. So, you know, starting a conversation and really diving deep into that conversation as opposed to trying to think of five or six things to post in a particular week, if that makes sense.
All right. I'm a client of yours. I come to you and I say, I'm with you on the consistency. I want to get better at this. And I want to start posting a few times a week. Let's say it's three times a week. What recommendations might you have for when I post and the day of the week that I post? Have you found any magic to that?
Yeah, I smile, laugh a little bit at that sometimes, because I always, you see these studies that say, my wife actually saw one recently that said, you know, Sunday night at 10 p.m., you know, it was like the perfect time. So she posts something for me at 10 p.m. I saw it on my phone. I was like, oh, I rolled my eyes. I was like, you know, so the next morning I look at it. And of course, there was like four people who saw it. I'm like, you know, these studies, you know, I don't know who thinks these up or whatever, but sometimes you have to think logically, like who's really going to be on LinkedIn on Sunday night at 10 p.m. But anyway, what we have found is during business hours are the best times to post on LinkedIn. It probably makes sense because it's a business tool. And a lot of us are active on it. I know for me, I'm on LinkedIn typically during business hours, and I'm not typically when I'm with the kids at lacrosse practice or whatever. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I usually say, you know, on the even hours, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., things of that nature. That tends to be when we post for our clients, and that tends to be when we get the most bang for our buck.
All right, let's talk about bang for the buck. So I love to play golf. And my wife gets frustrated with me because I'll come home and I'll say, oh, I shot terrible today. And she says, why do you even worry about keeping score? Just go out and have a good time. Well, I think as human beings, we're just wired to keep score. My old baseball coach in high school used to say, if you don't keep score, it's not a game, it's a hobby. And so there is a way on LinkedIn. And I don't know about the others, but I know on LinkedIn, there is a way to keep score. It's called the Social Selling Index. I review my SSI score daily. Am I crazy here? What's the importance of the SSI score?
I don't think you're crazy. I think that as long as you're looking at it to a point, I think that it's fine. I think that you can go too far. And I think that anyone can become obsessed over it, you know, and then it becomes probably a problem. And I think that it's a good thing to look at that score to determine what's working in terms of the type of content you're posting. Because as I like to tell my audiences, the mob is fickle, as we say. And so you might think that you just posted the greatest banking advice in the world and nobody cared. And then the next day you posted, how do you like your bacon? You know, semi-crispy, crispy, or completely, you know, charred. And it just absolutely crushed an engagement, right? And you're just like, whatever, you know? So you just, you never know. And you have to play, but you know, if you're keeping score, you got to watch the analytics and note the fact that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that the bacon one beat out the banking one. And that's just because no matter what the platform is, we're all human and we all love bacon. So that's that. I think that's helpful. Where it becomes hurtful is if you you let it get to you too much. You know, it's like, just to give you a quick example, Jack, I remember having a client one time and I was talking to her. She was a good client and, you know, spent a lot of money with our company and blah, blah, blah. And she was telling me all these different things she knew about my content on LinkedIn. And finally I looked at her and I was like, gosh, you knew a lot of stuff about my LinkedIn stuff. I'm like, you know, and she's like, yeah, I follow you. Like I know all your stuff. And I've never seen you comment on anything. And she's like, oh, and I never will. And I was like, well, that's not very nice. You know? And she's like, no, I don't mean anything bad by that. I just don't want your followers to see me. Like, that's just not, that feels weird to me. So I watch your stuff, but I'll never comment. And I was like, wow, how many other people feel that way? You know, how many other people just like to look, but don't want to engage, you know? So my point of sharing that story is just to remind us that, you know, there are a lot of people that are engaging with our stuff that are not necessarily commenting or liking or whatever. And so we shouldn't just hold that so true that, you know, every time we see something that maybe we don't like, you know, we stop doing it or something to that effect.
Well, let's stay with this, the comment on content. One of your units, chapters, talks about being a wise owl versus a squawking parrot. I love that. Talk about that a little bit.
Thank you. You have done your homework too, Jack. I appreciate that. The wise owl, is, you know, the trusted resource person that we've been talking about, the content creator that seeks to add value, that serves others, that thinks before they post, that really is thinking outward on how they can help others. The squawking parrot is the billboard or brochure that is constantly self-serving, that is constantly looking to promote, hence the squawking parrot, and frustrates and annoys people. No offense to parrot fans out there. And it's that visual reminder to people that I want them to have, that we want to be the wise owl that adds value and not be the squawking parrot that annoys and frustrates people.
It's outstanding. A couple more questions. One of them is my strong bias of coaching. And I'm curious what you see with your clients around what I'll call social coaching, where, let's say, the CEO and the executives of the company model the way by actually doing what you're suggesting, that team leaders in their team meetings get together with their folks and help them understand how to do certain things, whether it's post content or why should I comment or upgrading my profile, whatever the case might be. What are you seeing around what I'll call social coaching?
Are you a commercial or business banker looking to build relationships with small and mid-sized companies? RelPro is a business development and relationship management solution being used by bankers to find new prospects, learn more about them, and keep tabs on them as well as your existing customers. Want to learn more? Go to RelPro.com to schedule a demo today.
I would say in terms of like improvements to their LinkedIn specifically? Or
yes, yes. Okay. And making sure that I don't just get on LinkedIn but that I really am active on LinkedIn and that my leaders shine a light on this so that they share the importance of me being on LinkedIn and being consistent with it.
And you know, that's a great question. I think that the biggest switch that I think that I try to give individuals in particular, you know, when it comes to coaching them on activities that they can do, because a lot of times when you think about LinkedIn, there's a lot of things that, you know, obviously we can learn about, but then maybe others help us with, you know, there's a lot of the content creation, there's a lot of the button pushing that can be done by other people. But then the question is what should we be doing? You know, and a lot of that is interacting with other people's content. So what I might say is a key activity that I would make sure that to coach others on is to spend 15 to 20 minutes a day actively engaging with other people's content on LinkedIn. I call it OPP. I'm a 90s kid, so I say be down with OPP on you know, if you remember that rap song back in the day, but I say other people's posts. So the goal is that you 15 minutes a day, you go out on LinkedIn and you engage with other people's content. You don't spend any time on your profile. You're on everyone else's profile. You're on everyone else's feed, right? So, you know, I go on and I just start going through the feed. And so I see Jack's post. So Jack just posted about the new algorithm changes that he found. And so I'll look through those, I'll scan it, and I'll comment. And I'll say, Jack, this is great. I did notice that number three, I can't believe that they're getting rid of, you know, content or creator mode. You know, we were just talking about that. Can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. What do you think? You know, is this gonna, and you and I have a little dialogue about that. Then I move on. I go to the next one. I go to the next one. So what does this do? First of all, it keeps me top of mind with you, right? So that's one little win, you know, like if I want to stay connected with you and top of mind, great. So I'm staying top of mind with the people I'm commenting with. I'm also scratching the back, so to speak, of LinkedIn. What I'm doing is I'm engaging in conversation out off the outside the walls of my own LinkedIn, which they like, which therefore means when I start to go post on my content, they're going to help me on the algorithm game. They call it kind of priming the pump, if you will. So if I go out and I go out and engage with other people, and then I come back and I post something on my feed, typically I'll notice that more of my people will see that because I've been engaging in other conversation. Does that make sense, Jack? Am I explaining that well?
Yes,
Okay.
absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that activity is so important for your listeners to do. Spend, you know, to the extent that you can, 10, 15 minutes a day with the sole purpose of engaging with other people's content. It will serve you so well.
Great. Well, I can't let you go without talking about the elephant in the room, and that's AI. LinkedIn is now starting to help us by using some AI to suggest rewriting posts or whatever the case might be. How are your clients engaging with AI and integrating that into social?
Yeah, appreciate you asking that. That's definitely something we've been discussing a lot. It's definitely a bit of a minefield for sure. And you know, the way I look at it is like many other things that have come along in technology, it's a tool that is going to be used well by a lot of people and going to be used poorly by a lot of people. And let's hope that the people that are listening in today use it well. And if you're going to use it well, it's going to be used as a tool. And I liken it, as you could probably tell by now, I like to use like metaphors and analogies. So I liken AI to being a personal assistant or an intern, somebody who's new to your company, somebody that you handhold, that you're very careful with. That is AI for us. So it's a first draft. It's an idea creator. All these things are helpful, but the end all be all is it goes through us. So what does that mean? It means that if I'm going to write a LinkedIn newsletter and I want to use AI, I might say, okay, AI, let's talk about the new algorithm features for LinkedIn. So I'll go to AI and I'll say, what are some of the new algorithm features for LinkedIn and how are they going to help businesses in 2024? And AI will come out with all kinds of really good stuff. But if I just throw that out on LinkedIn and let it go, oh man, first of all, people are going to easily be able to tell a robot wrote it. Second of all, it could be inaccurate. Third, it could not make any sense, all this. So I got to read it. I got to put my own spin on it. I got to, put my perspective, but the meat may still be from AI. So instead of it taking 90 minutes of my time, maybe it took 20 minutes of my time. That's the beauty of AI for me. It's a tool, it's a resource, it's an added value that takes 70% of the grunt work, the heavy lifting out of the writing. That's the beauty of it. But if you let it take 100%, you're gonna have some grave mistakes happen, unfortunately, that we're gonna see come out quite a bit in the years to come.
You are brilliant at what you do.
Thanks.
You have
Thank
a
you.
lot of knowledge and skill and expertise. But I am very sure you're well read and you follow some other folks on LinkedIn and other social media and you read to get more knowledge. Who are you reading? Who are you following?
That's a good question. We mentioned earlier, I would say definitely for the LinkedIn stuff, Richard Bliss is somebody that I really like. He came to the National Speakers Association, which I'm affiliated with, did a great presentation on some of the algorithm changes for LinkedIn. So shout out to Richard. Really enjoy his stuff. I'll give you some, like Dale Carnegie is from a I know that's an oldie, but just from a professional standpoint, that has just been such near and dear to my heart. From sales to presentations to leadership to all things, I've always just been a humongous Dale Carnegie fan, so I can't really go do a podcast without mentioning my love for Dale Carnegie and all their programs and such.
And it doesn't surprise me that you love Dale Carnegie because this book is practical, just like Dale Carnegie.
Yes, yes.
So you're out a couple times a month speaking. You've got this great book. You've got this agency. Somebody wants to book you to speak. Somebody wants to buy the book. Somebody wants to get a hold of you for your agency. How do they reach you?
Oh, thank you. They can go to our websites. CoreyPearlman.com is our speaker website. So that's Corey with an E and Pearlman without an A, Perlman. And Authentically Social, which is also right here, is on Amazon. So feel free to pick that up on Amazon. And our agency website is ImpactSocialMedia.com. ImpactSocialMedia.com. And I'm also, on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. Feel free to find me there. I've really enjoyed this conversation, Jack. You're a great interviewer. Obviously, did your homework, which I really appreciate. And it's been an awesome conversation. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Corey. Really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Jack Rants with Modern Bankers with the author of Authentically Social, Corey Pearlman. This and every Jack Rants with Modern Bankers is brought to you by our great friends at Vertical IQ and RealPro. Did you know that this is a podcast too? Well, it is, and we're on a whole bunch of platforms: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and others. Get on there, listen to it, and we'd appreciate a review if you would. Visit our website too, themodernbanker.com, for more information, and sign up for our free public library at themodernbanker.com/public library. And also, make today and every day a great client day.